Did you know one of these days when we get to heaven, God's going to give us a name and we will reserve that name for Him? We're going to have that kind of a personal relationship with God in heaven where it's not just business related. By the way, that's where so many people are. Well, the man upstairs, you know, Father Time, he's up there, you know, got a long gray beard, long gray hair. And you know what? The man upstairs, he's going to take care of me. Listen, I'm just telling you, when we get to heaven, it's not going to be like that. But when we get to heaven, God's going to give us a very personal name. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but I believe when we're in His presence, there'll be a sweet, personal, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father.
Enjoyed that wonderful song from the Webster family called I Found It All. And we're going to enjoy another song from the Webster family coming up in just a moment called Precious Jesus. We're so glad that you've tuned in to Countdown to Courage today. It's a joy to have you with us by way of radio broadcast, or maybe you've tuned in by way of podcast today. Welcome. We're so glad that you have found us today, and we pray that God will use today's content on the broadcast, on the podcast, to just help you in an immense way today. This is a podcast and a radio broadcast that features the teaching and preaching of Pastor Stephen Pope, who's the pastor of Calvary Baptist Church in Union Grove, North Carolina. Today, we are sharing with you part two of a message called Our Personal Identity in Heaven. And this is such a fascinating message that I think you're going to enjoy today. If you missed part one, you can check it out on the podcast. We're on SoundCloud. SoundCloud, we're on Apple Podcast, and those are wonderful ways for you to connect with us and to catch up on the broadcast. We do want to invite you to join us for one of our upcoming services at Calvary Baptist Church. We have Sunday morning service beginning at 9:45 with our Sunday school groups. At 11 o'clock, we have our Sunday morning worship. Sunday night at 6 p.m., we have our evening service, and Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. These are all wonderful times for you to come and be a part of the services at Calvary Baptist Church. We'd love for you to come and check it out and be a part. Before you do that, you can check out our website, calvarybcug.com, for more information about Calvary Baptist Church. We're also on Facebook, and that's a wonderful way for you to connect with us and to follow us there. And also, our pastor hosts a daily live stream that's called Countdown to Courage. It happens every Tuesday through Friday at 3 o'clock Eastern, and a wonderful way to connect with our pastor and our church and find out more about Calvary Baptist Church. And so check that out today. Subscribe to our Facebook page, subscribe to our YouTube channel, our podcast, and then we hope that ultimately you'll come join us for one of our services. There's really nothing like experiencing an in-person gathering at the Calvary Baptist Church of Union Grove. And so we sure hope that you'll come join us for one of our upcoming services. We're located at 300 Indian Hill Road in Union Grove, North Carolina. Again, any information that you may want about our church, you can find on our website, calvarybcug.com. If you're standing in need of prayer today, well, we have a special ministry that's been set up just for you. It's our prayer helpline, and it's available for you to call right now. The number for that helpline is 704-327-5662. Again, the number is 704-327-5662. One of our prayer helpline personal workers is standing by and would love to take your call. If you catch our voicemail, simply leave a message and we'll return your call just as soon as we possibly can. We're going to go into a wonderful song right now by the Webster family. Again, this song is called Precious Jesus, and then we'll get into part two of this wonderful message called Our Personal Identity in Heaven. Thank you for tuning in to Countdown to Courage, a ministry of Calvary Baptist Church in Union Grove, North Carolina. We hope you have a wonderful day.
Yeah. There's peace and triumph when you speak His name. Loving Savior, He's my sunshine.
Sometimes we'll have a DNA test, and at other times we'll have fingerprinting. And then, I'm just thinking about all these things. I'm thinking about some of you have, families that have identical twins. And truth of the matter is, you can't tell them apart. Now, mom and dad sort of can, but you can't tell them apart. And so somebody says, preacher, if our personal names are recorded in heaven, isn't that going to be confusing? In heaven, not to the Lord. Not going to be confusing at all. Did you know that God doesn't just know your name, but God gave you your DNA? God knows exactly what you're made of. Psalm 103, verse 13. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. Listen to Psalm 139, verse 14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. And so God knew exactly what you were going to look like before you were ever formed in the womb. He knew what color hair you were going to have. He knew what color eyes you were going to have. He knew if your nose was going to be a little longer than somebody else's. He knew if your ears were going to stick out a little further than somebody else's. And by the way, God doesn't make any junk. And God doesn't make any mistakes. And there's so much emphasis placed upon personal appearance nowadays. And listen, I want to tell you something. Beauty is definitely in the eyes of the beholder. God made you like God made you. You had nothing to do with it, by the way, for that matter. God made you either white or black or red or yellow or whatever the case may be. You didn't have not one solitary thing to do with it. And so whatever you are, be thankful that you are that. And that God made you, God knows you. And in heaven, thank God, he's going to know you personally. In fact, did you know this? That in Matthew chapter 10, the Bible says he knows you so well that he knows the very hairs of your head. He knows how many hairs you have right now. Now, here's the question, though. What is the Bible referring to when it mentions the issuing of names in heaven? And we're done, but listen to this. Take your Bibles, turn to Revelation chapter 2. What's the Bible talking about then, preacher? I mean, if God's going to use our personal names and we'll have our personal identity, then what's the Bible talking about when it mentions the issuing of new names? Revelation 2. We'll look at two places tonight. Revelation 2, verse 17. Now, this is a blessing. The Bible says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. Now somebody says, Pastor, what in the world is that talking about? Well, let me tell you what we know at least, all right? Did you know that historians tell us that back in Bible days, that a white stone was often given? And when that white stone was given, it is the idea of, okay, it would be like my wife and I, we flew not too long ago. And whenever we fly nowadays, we always take our passports, always do. And we presented our passports. And they tell us, historians tell us, that when somebody was given that white stone, it was the idea of a passport. The white stone was used for admission, almost like a ticket. Now listen to this. The winner of an Olympic-style game was rewarded with a white stone, which gave him access to the winner's banquet. But it went one step further than that. If your white stone was engraved with a name, it basically meant this. It was an all-access pass to all the festivities that were going on that day. In other words, you could get into anything. You could get into the palace. You could get right there where the king was eating, the emperor was eating. It was an all-access pass. Now listen, the Bible says that we're going to be given a stone, a white stone. We're going to have a new name written there. And so I do believe this part. I believe that, brother, one of these days, you and I are going to be given an all-access pass to the glories of heaven. Amen. But I want you to turn over one more page. Look at Revelation 3, and we're done. Revelation chapter 3, and look at verse number 12. The Bible says, and this again, this is beautiful. Boy, hang in here with me just for a few more moments. Revelation 3, verse 12. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God. Look at the last line here. And I will write upon him my new name. So we'll receive a new name in heaven. But this is what I want to point out. We're done. That new name is not necessarily given to us. But the new name is actually a name given for the Lord. God will give us a very personal name in which we're going to communicate with him and refer to him. Listen to Revelation 19:12. You don't have to turn there. Revelation 19:12. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. One of these days, I believe this, one of these days, God is going to give you a name. Not you a new name, but God's going to give you a name that you're going to use when you communicate with him. A personal name, an intimate name. Now, Any proof of that, preacher? Well, I do believe this. I believe that Jesus exemplified this truth in the Gospels. Now, we're almost done, but look, if you will. Look at Mark chapter 14 and verse 36. Preacher, what do you mean? What are you talking about? God's going to give us a name for him. What do you mean? Well, look at Mark chapter 14 and verse number 36. And this is our Lord. And the Bible says in Mark 14, verse 36, and he said, that's Jesus, and he said, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto thee. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what thou wilt. This is interesting. Jesus, when talking to his heavenly Father, first of all uses what I'm going to call a term of endearment. He says, Abba. And then we notice he uses a term of respect. Father. Isn't that how he told us to pray? When you pray, say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And so he uses both. He uses a word that's very personal, and he uses a word that's very respectful. And by the way, Abba, what in the world does that mean? Well, it means Father, but they tell us that it goes a little deeper than that. It's something very personal. It would be like us saying, Daddy. And here's the thing. Did you know that you and I are to follow that same example? Would you turn over to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8, and look at verse 14, and we're landing the plane right now. Look at this, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. When Jesus spoke to his Father, he used a very personal, a very intimate name, and then he used a very respectful name, Abba, Father. What does the Bible say? How does the Bible instruct us? Well, Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Verse 15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, there it is, Abba, Father. Now, we're in Bible study tonight. So turn over just a few more pages. Galatians chapter 4, and look at verse number 6. Galatians chapter 4, verse number 6. I love the way Paul puts this in the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. He says, and because ye are, what's the word? Because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now look at verse 7. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Now, let me teach you a little something real quickly right here. Did you know that back in this day, when Paul wrote that to the church of Galatia, did you know that slavery was very prominent back in this day and time? Did you know that if a man bought a slave, that the slave was forbidden to ever use the name Abba? He was not allowed to use that name because they said that the relationship was purely business related and it was not supposed to be personal in any way. So he could never say to his master, his owner, he could never say Abba. Why? Because Abba is a very personal term. It means father. It means daddy. It's a term of endearment. Now I'm going somewhere. Hang in there with me. Children have a way in which they communicate with a parent. You do. And you use different words for your dad or your mom. Some of you say mother. Some of you say mama. Some of you say mom. We usually said mama. We referred to mom as mama. And we've always talked to dad as daddy. I mean, we just call him daddy. That's what we do. Every once in a while, I call him pop, you know. And I don't think any of my other brothers or sisters use that term, but I, you know, that's just something that I use when I'm talking to my dad. And then I thought about this. Grandkids have a personal way that they communicate with grandparents. Some of you are mamaw. Others of you are nana. Some are Gigi. Others are granny or grandma or gran or BB or whatever the case may be. Again, what's your point, preacher? My point is those words are very personal. Those words are terms of endearment. And so I have men in this room right here, by the way, that I love very, very deeply. And I'll call them friend. And I'll call them brother. We got here early this morning, and there were several here. Brother Jimmy was here. Brother Donnie was here. Brother Steve, others were here when I got here. And I refer to those men as brother. And, hey, my brother, it's good to see you. By the way, that's a good term, isn't it? Or I'll say, boy, hey, hello, friend. I use that for preachers a lot of time. Hello, friend. It's good to see you. Good to hear from you, friend. But I never go to Brother Donnie and say, hey, daddy. Hey, daddy. If I did do that, Brother Donnie would get worried about me. He would say, preacher, are you okay? And I don't go. You know, man, I love Brother Jimmy. But I don't go to Brother Jimmy and say, hey, Pop. How's it going, Pop? How's it going? No, I don't do that. I might say, hey, brother. Hey, friend. Man, it's so good to see you. But I don't use those terms. You know why? Those are very personal, personal terms. Did you know one of these days when we get to heaven, God is going to give us a term? God's going to give us a name, and we will reserve that name for him. We're going to have that kind of a personal relationship with God in heaven where it's not just business related. By the way, that's where so many people are. It's, you know, it's so empty. Well, the man upstairs is going to help me. You know, Father Time, he's up there, you know, got a long gray beard, long gray hair. And you know what? The man upstairs, he's going to take care of me. Listen. I'm just telling you, when we get to heaven, it's not going to be like that. In fact, when we get to heaven, it's not just going to be God. And when we get to heaven, it's not going to be just Father. But when we get to heaven, God's going to give us a very personal term, a very personal name. I don't know exactly what it's going to be, but I believe that when we're in his presence, there'll be a sweet, personal, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we'll refer to him in a certain way, and he'll refer to us. By the way, did you know, according to our Bible, we're not supposed to wait until we get to heaven to start building that intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father? These people who refer to him as the man upstairs, and one of these days, I'll get to know him better. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I question that just a little bit. You know what we had better do, Calvary Baptist Church, right now, where we are in 2024? Oh, we need to get to know him now. Yes, sir. And yes, know him as God. And yes, be respectful when you enter into his presence. We ought to always be respectful. And we pass the time of that, we pass that time of sojourning in fear and respect. But oh, listen, he ought to be precious to us. Isn't that what our Bible says? Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. He's precious. Isn't that what our Bible says? Deuteronomy 32:4, he is the rock. His work is perfect. And all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. Isn't that what the psalmist said? And when he gave us those words in Psalm 62:2, where he said, he only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Isn't that what the Bible talks about when it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hey, listen, we ought to start building that personal relationship with him right now. Charles Spurgeon said this. Charles Spurgeon said, I want to walk so close to the Lord that when I look up and say, God, I love you, that God will look back and say, I know you do, Charles. I know you do. Well, listen, I don't know about y'all. That's the kind of relationship I want to have with him.
Friend, we're so glad you've stayed with us throughout the broadcast today. If you're listening and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I want to encourage you to give your heart and life to him. He said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice, Jesus promised that he would come in. Would you realize several things? Number one, we're sinners in need of a Savior, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us in Romans 6, but God loved you so much that he gave his only Son. The Bible says in Romans 5 and verse number 8, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God loved you so much that he gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. Christ came. He took my sins upon him. He took your sins upon him. And he went to the cross of Calvary. And there he bled and suffered and died and paid the penalty for your sins and mine. They put him in the grave. But 3 days later, God raised him from the dead. He's a living, resurrected Savior. And he came to save you and I from hell. But not only that, but he came to save us to himself. And the Bible tells us this, that if you'd be willing to acknowledge him today, if you'd be willing to open your heart and life to him today, our Bible promises in Romans chapter 10, verse number 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If today you'd be willing to open your heart and life to Christ and just say something like this to him, dear Lord, I'm so sorry for my sins. I believe that you died for me and rose again. And so right now, please forgive me for my sinfulness. And Lord, please come into my heart and life and save my soul. I receive you as my personal Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Now help me to live for you the rest of my days. I hope you prayed that prayer today and meant it from your heart. If you did, please reach out to us. We want to rejoice with you. And we'd love to get some helpful information into your hands that will help you with your Christian walk. God bless you. Again, thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast today. We love you in the Lord.